Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow starts now.
All right, there's the drums to wake you up. Here we are again. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Tuesday, September 6th. Labor Day is behind us. The coffee's ready. We're good to go. Kids are back in school. Luke Mathers is back from Door County. He did not freeze to death, and he has the extremely bright yellow sweatshirt to prove it, with Door County and what appears to be Mr. Rogers' trolley somewhere on his chest.
No, so, I like a uncle figure to me growing up runs the Door County trolley in right up between Egg Harbor and Fish Creek. And so it is part of tradition to stop in and see if the man, the myth, the legend is there. And I did get to run into him yesterday on my way down the peninsula. So always a great stop. And it was an excellent weekend. Hope yours was good too, Pat.
Mine was wonderful. It was everything that we had hoped for. We wanted something fairly relaxing, get a few things done around the house. Talk about that in a second here as well. Coming up this morning, congressional candidate Brad Paff is scheduled to join us in our 9 o'clock hour. State Assembly candidate Lou Ann Bird in our 10 o'clock hour. And we're hoping to talk to Hans Breitenmoser about the world economy later this hour. We'll also discuss Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels calling for torches and pitchforks against news outlets that dare let voters know the small fortune that he's donated to anti-gay and anti-choice causes. Obviously, we'll go over President Biden's appearance in Wisconsin yesterday to mark Labor Day. We'll also remind everybody about how the fight for better working conditions is also being fought the other 364 days on the calendar, including some places pretty close to home. We'll also come back to the president's Philadelphia speech last week on fighting to preserve democracy, and we'll notice a glaring omission, the omission of fact-checking that would have shown that he didn't really get anything wrong when he was calling out the Trumpies. The Brewers beat Colorado 6-4, but only after losing 3 out of 4 games in Arizona. So we quickly shift to Badger football, which is off to a nice start against Illinois State. And then they'll host Washington State on Saturday. As for that Labor Day weekend and getting things done around the house, I don't know where I put it, but somewhere along the line, I got another punch in my man card over the weekend by starting and successfully operating for the first time an offset smoker, which I was not seeking to have. It was given as a gift as part of a charcoal grill. It had a offset smoker attachment. And I've looked at that thing for about a year and said, I don't know about this. You know, I just imagined how many things I could possibly ruin with it. Finally worked up the courage this weekend, and I'm here to tell you I am now going to be that annoying guy who talks about how great it is to smoke meats in your own smoker. My Instapot is jealous. My cast iron skillet is jealous. I tell them they have nothing to worry about. I will still do plenty of other things in the kitchen, but boy, if you get the setup right with, like, you know, a little digital probe thermometer to take the temperature of the meat all the way through, and then a couple of different little places to take the temperature on top and above in the cooking chamber, that was the best cut of pork I have ever had. I did a pork tenderloin, just a basic rub, and it's what you got to do for all the things I've done. By the way, we also fixed the toilet over the weekend, so we've punched our homeowner's card, Luke. So if you don't already have the smoker grill thing, that apparently that is required. Don't wait as long as I did to get it.
See, I just avoided all of the homeowners' problems over the weekend and went away for the weekend instead. So that's what I decided to do. And I'm kind of feeling bad about myself, you recounting all of these projects you knocked off the list, because I kind of unplugged, went into the middle of the woods, and then was camping.
That's all right. That's totally allowed. Whereas for me, we do working from home, you do so much in your home office, and you notice all these other things that don't get done. So we'd set aside this weekend for it. We get to see kids and grandkids at other points during the summer. So this was our weekend to just, I mean, we washed all the windows. We took care of, you know, some landscaping issues, and, you know, we just did it at our pace, which is really all you can want out of a weekend like this. So one of the best things about using a smoker is the part where it says, now do nothing, do nothing for the next hour or so. So I went over to my hammock, you know, and took a picture of the smoker and said, I hope I'm doing this right. And
you followed those instructions to a T, just like
I did. Well, usually, look, I watched a lot of YouTube videos to see what other people were doing. And it's a whole lot of guys. If you ever look at these, they're all sitting in a chair next to their smoker. And I thought, well, I don't want to do that. And of course, it's kind of an exaggeration. You can do other things. You don't have to sit and babysit it. You just have to check the fire every so often, see if you got to throw on another chunk of wood. But no, you got to do that. We got to boat up river, you know, up to the Mallard and see friends there. We just took care of a lot of home maintenance things, which is fine because really, really soon we'll be doing the next home maintenance thing, which is raking leaves like crazy and putting up Christmas lights and taking out the screens and all of that. So that'll come soon enough. But to have a weekend like this where you could take a break, watch a little bit of the Brewers, get sick of watching the Brewers when they're in Arizona and go do something else. And we did, by the way, try to watch House of the Dragon on HBO. And again, I loved Game of Thrones, read the books, saw it all. I don't know if I'll be following that one. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later on as well. But let's take this break and have more coming up in just a bit here up north.
News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Hadn't really had a chance to get a detailed forecast for you looking at all the National Weather Service site pages. I check those all out every morning. I do a little trek, Duluth, Superior to Green Bay to Milwaukee to La Crosse to the Twin Cities. And you kind of get covered there. And what I'm seeing is that it's going to be a little warmer and nice for the next couple of days here, maybe back up into the mid 80s. And then chances of rain come back just in time for next weekend, Friday and Saturday. My guest here on Up North News this Monday morning, Hans Brighton Moser, joins us. Lincoln County, right, Hans, where you're at? Hey, Hans, where are you?
I'm in Lincoln County.
Yep. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
I forgot to put my note here in front of you. We've talked to you on the old Wednesday night show, and I wanted to get you introduced to folks now on the new weekday morning show as we talk a bit about, you know, various issues that you've been working on. You're formerly of the county board. You've worked on the Fair Maps issues quite a bit, and of course follow, you know, no shortage of rural issues. How was your Labor Day weekend?
I have to warn you, Pat, it says my internet connection is unstable, so welcome to rural broadband.
There you go. I can't.
Should we start there?
Yeah. Actually, we were going to go there at some point, so let's just go there. What kind of connection are you dealing with these days?
Actually, usually I have a pretty good connection, so I'm kind of surprised and embarrassed that this one's not working. I've got a local internet provider that does line of sight type technology. And typically it's very, it's pretty darn reliable, even as the demand for the sort of horsepower, I'm going to say, requirements go up, they've been able to do a pretty decent job. But the problem, the thing that I like about this is it's a local provider. And I think that's where we should be putting our money into as far as, you know, expanding broadband, making sure that it's local providers who are able to do that for us. But yeah, definitely the state of Wisconsin needs to catch up in that regard for sure. Money needs to be spent on there.
Well, and when we talk about the need to expand broadband, which is, you know, high speed internet of above 100 megabytes per second, we have all kinds of reasons why you'd like it at home, you know, whether it's downloading and watching videos or working from home, certainly things like that. But from a farm perspective, I mean, where once we were dependent upon, you know, one midday radio report on farm markets, now farmers and other producers probably need to be as connected as ever to the web to, you know, find out things that are going to, you know, have an impact on, you know, what their markets are, what they're growing, what decisions they're making, what their politicians are deciding. So it's not like broadband isn't necessary across the rural economy between the state and the nation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think farmers in that regard are like other small businesses, and maybe even more so because of, you know, because we're so dependent on the weather, right? I mean, that's one of the things that we rely on is good weather forecasts and so forth. But yeah, just, you know, communicating. I mean, during the pandemic, of course, you know, the meetings and so forth and the, you know, sort of the educational things that we attended as farmers were happening during Zoom, and now oftentimes continue to happen during Zoom. And so much of the information that we get, obviously, this is the means by which we get information and communicate with each other and with our, you know, vendors and so forth. So yeah, it's very, very important, no doubt, but it is a trick because, you know, in the rural areas, you've got less population. So the big companies are less interested in plowing fiber to those areas. So it is a little bit of a conundrum for sure.
Well, and I've talked about that from, you know, my time in the legislature about 15 years ago. And we talked about it primarily for cable TV purposes and then, you know, broadband as well, that you'd get these promises from these great big companies if you deregulate a little bit, but knowing full well they were going to spend the lion's share of their time and infrastructure investment in the larger markets where they could get the most bang for the buck. And so, like you said, these small rural telcos are the ones that needed the help the most. And, you know, we've done some stories about how some progress is being made. And I'm hearing that from you as well, that progress is being made. But, you know, clearly there's still more work to be done, not just in laying out the network, but then in getting whatever you want to call it, that last mile coverage mm-hmm. to people's farms and homes without them having to, you know, pay an arm and a leg.
Right. It has to be affordable. Especially in light of the fact that it is the new rural electrification. So we shouldn't, you know, just leave people to their own devices from that standpoint. But I also feel like it's really important to get local providers in this mix because it's not just a service like electricity or water from the standpoint. It's a service that's in the business of moving information, right? And so I think it's already scary enough where we have, you know, so much of our information infrastructure is in the hands of a very few, you know, people, and it's purely driven by profit. You know, I'd like to see that democratized as much as possible. So to have a local provider that, you know, I know the person who runs the company, he's the person, you know, he's someone who lives in the community and so forth. Those are the providers that we should be supporting because, you know, for its own sake, but also, and from an economic standpoint, rural economy standpoint sake, but also from that big picture standpoint of, you know, who's in charge of, you know, moving information around and so forth. So I think there's just a ton of reasons why broadband should be localized the same way that we talk about how important, you know, small businesses are, but even more so. And now it says my internet connection is unstable again.
You know, the thing is, for me, you have been clear. I've been able to see and haven't had any jumps. So hopefully we can continue to maintain that. Hans Breitenmoser joins us from the Merrill area. We, in talking about what's been happening, you know, at the larger level, state and federal, that affects the rural economies, certainly a lot of attention has been paid lately to the Inflation Reduction Act. And we have spoken at length about some of the renewable energy components of that. But Hans, talk to us a bit about, you know, some of the rural economy / agricultural impacts, everything from, you know, the any sustainability programs that are in there to help the climate, to renewable energy program initiatives that might be good for the rural economy.
Yeah, you broke up there a little bit, Pat, but I think I get the gist of the question. So I do feel like this is all good stuff. And I think it's especially good stuff for rural America, because where energy in the future is going to be produced is going to be the countryside, whether it's wind, you know, methane, biogas, solar. This is the area. These are the areas that it will be created. And it's something that, you know, we should all embrace. We've got solar panels on two of our barns. I would say they're low maintenance, but they're actually no maintenance. They just don't give us any grief. They just keep powering, helping to power the farm. And that's something that I think this legislation is going to help push forward. It's going to be better for the climate, and it's going to be, yeah, better for rural economies. Because I think, you know, whether it's farmers or homeowners or other small businesses, you know, any amount of money that we spend on fossil fuel is money that's extracted from our local economies that goes somewhere else. The fact of the matter is, we don't produce any fossil fuels here in rural Wisconsin. And so that's something that I don't care what your politics are, you should be able to get behind full force, because every dollar that I don't spend on, you know, coal that to power my farm, you know, those are dollars that are going to get spent otherwise. As a farmer, I can tell you that money doesn't stay in my pocket long. It moves out. So I would rather see it move out into the local economy and to the local hardware store and, you know, maybe even the local tavern keeper. But to send it out of state to buy fossil fuel, those are dollars that stop bouncing around the minute they, you know, they go across the border. So I think that these are, you know, we're moving in the right direction for sure.
And on the sustainability side of things, again, in the climate provisions in those bills, you know, you don't meet a whole lot of farmers, especially, you know, small family farmers who want, you know, runoff going into the creeks and everything. But again, this is pricey stuff. Now, there have been programs in the past, but are you encouraged to see even more done in there to help not just farmers, but other rural landowners ensure that they, you know, are not contributing to groundwater issues, for example?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, as farmers, we use a lot of water. It's important for us to have, you know, decent water, clean water. And we understand that the importance of that resource. So how to maintain that. And I think with what we've seen over the past few years with weather events getting, you know, crazier, you know, getting that 3 inches of rain in, you know, 45 minutes and things like that. These events that used to be referred to as 100-year events now happening once a summer in different places, it only exacerbates the problem with erosion, for example. So we're even more motivated to, you know, use cover crops and things like that to keep the soil where it's supposed to be, for sure.
Let's take it to the state level here. I wanted to ask you, with the legislature, in my point of view, being AWOL, you know, they put themselves on a 10-month paid vacation in late February. And we know Governor Tony Evers has asked them to come back, you know, in multiple times on multiple ways, the most recent of which is not letting a $5 billion surplus just sit there when there are plenty of needs around Wisconsin. And I wonder if you had a point of view on things that have been left undone by the legislature that Wisconsin could use from the state government level.
Well, I think we just talked about a couple of them. I mean, obviously, there's we could do more with broadband. You know, I mean, that's a need, that's an infrastructure need. You know, don't even get me started on roads. I mean, rural, I was on the county board for 10 years and, you know, we've been counting paperclips for how long now, largely because of mismanagement at the state level, taking away local control and so forth. So, I mean, I think there's, you know, whether there's a surplus or not, there's plenty of things to do. There are plenty of issues to tackle. But, you know, if, you know, it's a pretty good gig if you can get it, you know, you get. And I think, Pat, it comes down to, again, regardless of your politics, I think what's frustrating to me and, you know, to regular people who have jobs and small businesses and so forth, is that instead of policymakers, we've got politicians, right? I think we've got a whole bunch of people who are far more interested in the sport of politics and in the drama of politics and in the, you know, in the show business part of politics and getting elected and being on TV and, you know, all that type of stuff. And they spend less of their mental energy actually considering public policy that might do us some good. So that's the frustration, whether you've got a surplus or not. That to me is the frustration.
Mm-hmm. And even more so when you consider that, you know, you worked for so long on trying to have fair maps, only to have the, you know, the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court recently, you know, reinforce not only the old maps, but a worse version of it. And, you know, that's something that I hope we'll get into in future visits here, along with things that are happening with the campaign, things that are going to be happening, you know, on the market level in terms of, you know, what we're getting for crops and all that yet to come in the future. Hans, it's so great to have you here. Thanks so much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much, Pat. I appreciate it.
All right. Sketchy connection and all. We will be back with more after this. You're up north.
Wisconsin Conversation. Real information. Live from Lake Wissota, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Up North News, Pat Kreitlow, Luke Mathers here as well. Hope your weekend was peaceful. I have to admit, mine was. There was a little bit more work than intended because it's not every day the President of the United States comes to your state. We certainly had that happen during the Trump years and every other time. When a president comes to your state, some poor folks in the news business who might have thought they were getting the day off did not. And so I want to thank our reporter, Sharita Booker, who was at the rally and not only gave us clips of the president's speech, but also talked to people who were in attendance. And you can find a video recap of her coverage of the Biden rally by going to our Facebook site. Just search for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI. The president was in Milwaukee and Pittsburgh. He has somewhat traditionally gone to Labor Day activities in Pennsylvania, where he was born and raised, but he also clearly understands the significance of Wisconsin in these elections that will determine control of Congress, of both the House and the Senate. And Labor Fest is something that goes on down at the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee. So he already had a natural constituency there. He didn't have to create a new rally, have all these people working on weekends who weren't already planning on it. So it really couldn't have worked out any better if you are a pro-labor president. You have a place where you can go. It's not that he came here just looking to pick on Senator Ron Johnson, because I've heard him in plenty of other places in Washington, D.C. and in other states name drop Wisconsin's senior senator, not just because he's up for that third term that he promised he wouldn't run for, but because unlike some Republicans who have rather tried to moderate or hide from their positions, Ron Johnson's been out there. He's just going to go there and say that, you know, if it were up to him, he would, you know, either scrap Social Security and Medicare, turn it into, you know, discretionary spending at the whims of Congress. He's just out there saying, no, Wisconsin has enough jobs. He doesn't need to fight for them. He's just out there saying that you can take horse paste or something else to fight COVID and, you know, trash the reputation of scientifically proven vaccines. So with Senator Johnson making himself an easy target to begin with, it shouldn't surprise you much that the president singled him out, especially in reminding him again about two things when it comes to Social Security, Medicare, and other federal benefits. One is that he has praised a plan by one of his fellow Republican Senate colleagues, Rick Scott of Florida, who put out a plan that essentially calls for every federal program, everything, to come up for a renewal vote every 5 years. Everything. So, you know, pick what you got there, things that you think are a promise to Americans and they could be on the chopping block. That was number one. Number two, Johnson went a step further about a week ago or so and said that if it were up to him, you'd treat this as discretionary spending, which means it could come up for a vote every year, every 1 to 2 years instead of five. President Biden had no hesitation at all to remind the crowd of that in Milwaukee yesterday.
He wants to put Social Security and Medicare literally in a chopping block every single year, treated like any other appropriation. Let me remind you, you paid for your Social Security and Medicare. Taken out of your paycheck from the time you're 18 years old. The same guy who said He's the same guy who said if Republicans get control of Congress, they're coming after the Affordable Care Act again. This guy never stops. But guess what? I ain't stopping either.
Giving the crowd what they want to hear there. He went on to mention things that, you know, Republicans have been opposing. Look, it's no surprise that President Biden has had legislative accomplishments that he wants to talk about. But along with that, he's going to point out that Republicans could have come along. They had a chance to support his efforts to fight inflation, reduce the deficit, cap insulin costs, make large corporations pay their fair share of taxes. But, Biden made clear that that's not how it worked, that they didn't want to give Biden a win, as he put it, when it really isn't a win for Biden. Every one of those things is a win for the American people. But of course, he did note, that he is at Labor Fest. And that, of course, as you hear in this first cut from some other cuts that we received, is a good thing in Joe Biden's eyes.
The reason why businesses should be hiring labor folks is simple. You're the single greatest technicians in the world.
And he, talked about the benefits, the new jobs that are going to be coming through some of the things that he worked on.
Nearly 10 million new jobs, more jobs than ever been created at this point in any presidency in history. Wages are up. Unemployment remains near a 50-year low. And the big reason for all this is the American Rescue Plan that I signed into law shortly after taking office.
And he did. Again, that was done on a strictly partisan vote. No Republicans helped out, even though more than a few Republicans are showing up at, groundbreaking ceremonies and other things, pretending to take along, big checks when they weren't there. They weren't part of it. When I mentioned that he was praising the union workforce, I wanted to point out that he says that everybody knows the middle class built America, but none of people know that it was unions that built the middle class. And so Sherita talked to some of the attendees. There was Steve Farrington, who said he appreciated Biden coming to Milwaukee to show support for unions. He noted that workers built this country. There was attendee Lindsey Bloomer, who said what the president remarks were incredibly union affirming, that workers are incredibly important to the country. But the other thing Biden did, getting more into campaign mode, is try to essentially help some Republican voters understand that there is still a place for them at the table if they have not fully embraced, the lies and the conspiracies of, what he calls, MAGA Republicans, or he called them Trumpies at one point. There's a name I think should stick, but here's some of what he said about the MAGA faction of the party.
The extreme MAGA Republicans in Congress have chosen to go backwards, full of anger, violence, hate, and division. Extreme MAGA Republicans don't just threaten our personal rights and our economic security. They embrace political violence. The biggest contrast from what MAGA Republicans, the extreme right, the Trumpies, they want to go to Congress. These MAGA Republicans in Congress are coming for your Social Security as well.
He knows that these are folks that, in his words, have chosen to go backwards, full of anger, violence, hate, division. But together, Biden says, we can and we must choose a different path forward, a future of unity and hope. We're going to choose to build a better America. Obviously, folks in the MAGA faction, do we go with MAGA or MAGA? I don't know. But I like Trumpies. Might just go with Trumpies. Look, let's tie you to that guy that you want to, install as leader. Who, by the way, again, over the weekend said that he should be like declared president because of the 2020 election. So there's some real respect for how elections work.
Do you think all those hot takes after Thursday night's speech saying that it was inappropriate and too political for Biden to call it semi-fascism to then be followed up by a Trump rally where he was claiming that he needed to be reinstalled as president? Do you think there was any self-reflection at all over this past Labor Day weekend by those hot takes from Thursday night? Or do you think they kind of just ignore that aspect and just put out their kind of both sides isms regardless.
You have people on the Republican side doing as little as possible to provide some kind of tepid endorsement. You have others who are just goofballs. Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, said over the weekend that the whole notion about, you know, Trump and having top secret documents was, quote, a storage issue. Not a storage issue.
Storage issue as in 42 of the documents were out of their folders that were marked extremely top secret? Like, yeah. Is that the storage issue that
storage Senator issue Rubio's and that to? And that he's actually working on a presidential library. We heard that one over the weekend too. First off, that would be a misnomer, but that's a cheap shot. But no, former presidents do not have classified and top secret documents just lying around in their residence to be looked at. I did appreciate that NBC News early this morning put up what Marco Rubio had said a couple of years ago about Hillary Clinton and, you know, what a threat to national security that was when you have information in a place, her home, where anybody could come get it, which is exactly what Donald Trump has going as well. The president's Milwaukee visit only reaffirmed Wisconsin's national status as a bellwether state in the fall elections. Biden then flew off to Pittsburgh, further reinforcing Pennsylvania's importance in there as well. And he talked about, you know, you already heard him say once about the jobs that are coming. But of course, he talked about the Inflation Reduction Act in this last clip and, you know, the things that it can do.
I just signed into law a historic Inflation Reduction Act. It wasn't easy to take on big drug companies, but we did. I've been fighting them since I got in Congress 180 years ago.
Yeah, come on, Joe, 175. Further on, he goes and you know, notes that there could have been a more widespread cap on insulin costs, but that Republicans, including Ron Johnson, voted against that. But between that and the bipartisan infrastructure law, there are tremendous investments being made in this country, finally. And so we have a story up at UpNorthNewsWI.com with Kent Miller, who's the new president of the Wisconsin Laborers District Council, which oversees 9,000 union-represented construction trades workers. And he notes correctly that this is a once-in-a-lifetime investment. He says, we're going to see in Wisconsin probably an extra $1 billion over the next 5 years. There's going to be anything from more roads and bridges, fixing our transportation infrastructure, those lead pipe laterals, improving our water infrastructure, broadband. It's all done by, you know, closing loopholes in the tax code. And Biden talked about how much he has brought down the deficit last year and then how much more this is going to be brought down this year. So one of the Milwaukee attendees told us that, you know, he is happy to hear Biden talk about making sure corporations aren't getting a free pass, to make sure that tax-paying citizens get what's coming to them, and that we have to make investments in the future, whether it's about the, you know, the climate, renewable energy, and other things that are going to create jobs, and a lot of them are going to be built by labor workers. The president was also introduced by Governor Tony Evers, who talked about some of his accomplishments and noting that, you know, he has invested from the American Rescue Plan more than $150 million in filling jobs, expanding job training and apprenticeship programs. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes was at Labor Fest earlier and then went to other scheduled Labor Day events in Racine and elsewhere. And obviously a great hullabaloo has been made of that, to which I would simply remind people, do you remember those times, those appearances when Tammy Baldwin was running for the first time in 2012? No, you don't. I don't either, because it was an election year, and saying nothing about the, you know, the work that you would do as a senator. So yes, the Republicans who want to talk about the optics of it are having their day, and that is fine. But when it comes to what voters actually want from a senator, I think plenty was said already about, you know, what Ron Johnson has done versus what Mandela Barnes would do if he were to be elected senator. So there you go. A couple of big elections on the way for governor and for U.S. Senate, both here and in Pennsylvania. We've talked about that. And I was pretty impressed with that Laborfest crowd. I marched in that parade one time many years ago, went down to Milwaukee and, you know, joined some friends down there. And it's very impressive to see, you know, you see them on smaller scales. Like I've been to the one in Eau Claire many times. It's good to have that reminder that there's a reason we celebrate this day. We don't just take a break from work, but we remember those whose sacrifices made our jobs easier. While we should also remember those who are fighting to make our jobs better in the present day. We'll get into that a little later. We're back after this break. This is Up North News. Coming up tomorrow, the return of Kirk Bangstad along with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. If you are listening by radio or later via podcast, we want you to know there is another way to catch us live weekdays from 8 to 11. Go to tunein.com or download the TuneIn app and look for WXCO Bull Falls Radio, our flagship station in Wausau. The live stream of Bull Falls Radio, in case you really want to watch and see if Luke's sweater or new sweatshirt is really as yellow as I'm saying, just look for Bull Falls Radio on Facebook or Twitter. You can also find us on the Devil Radio app. And each hour of this show is turned into a separate podcast that you can find on Apple and Spotify. To reach the show, our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Herbert Kohler Jr. died Saturday at age 83, and I hasten to add, because of the similarities in names, we're not talking about Herb Kohl, the former senator. Herbert V. Kohler Jr. was CEO of the Kohler Company for 43 years. His son David took over about 7 years ago. What Kohler is known for more recently, since retiring from the Kohler Company, is founding Whistling Straits and Black Wolf Run. Some championship-level golf courses that really put Wisconsin on the map as a golf destination. He had achieved his goal about a year ago of bringing the Ryder Cup to Whistling Straits, and so we wanted to note his passing as well. I did want to ask, though, before we run out of time this hour, about the Door County trip, because I was greatly concerned about your safety and your well-being. We closed out the week noting there would probably be a need for campfires for survival purposes, if nothing else. You can tell I don't do a lot of tent camping. So
are you cold-blooded? I'm concerned for you that you have to be that close to a fire even when it's, you know, in the 60s and everything. What do you do in Wisconsin winters, man?
Oh no, I do fine. I would not mind camping, but as my wife explains, being a farm girl, she's like, we work outside all day. It's our goal to get inside at night. We've done our time. There's a comfy bed on the inside. So I did not marry a camper.
Okay. Well, my parents raised us, you know, kind of just ready to take us out in the woods at any time. So I enjoyed it. There was a little, it was a kind of a monsoon about 2 a.m. Friday night into Saturday morning. And that was a little surprising.
A monsoon, you say?
Yeah, it was pretty loud. There was a lot of rain came down in a very short period of time. But I fell right back asleep. The dog and I, we were just laying there. We fell back asleep. My fiance was a little bit more stirred by it. She told me she stayed up a little bit longer. I think it all in all.
Cursing your name the whole time under her breath.
Yeah. Poking me, probably trying to get me to wake up again. But no, I fall back asleep. I'm a very light sleeper in the sense that something can startle me and I'll be awake, say rain or the dog jumping and chasing something in the house in the middle of a normal night. But I fall back asleep pretty quickly. So like I can be stirred awake, but then as long as I'm not facing a problem like the smoke detector going off or something like that and have to clear out the house, I just turn over and fall right back asleep. And so she is not the same in that sense. She kind of stayed up, listened to the rain for what she said was probably the better
monsoon.
Part of an hour.
You stranded her outside in life-threatening weather conditions. I mean, somebody had to pay attention.
There was like a half-dollar sized dollop of water by the door, and that was about all that made it into the tent. So it was all in all very good considering how much rain I think came down in about that hour period early Saturday morning. But outside of that, the weather was great. You know, I was wearing like some joggers or some shorts with a sweatshirt on and enjoying the Door County Peninsula.
Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is why if you're going to join the Boy Scouts, you go all the way and become an Eagle Scout, because that is the most waterproof tent I have ever heard of. So whatever you did right.
It's just a Coleman. It was a good Wisconsin product, I believe, those Coleman tents.
Well, see, back in my day, the tents were made out of basically old editions of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You would just, you know, hang those over a string and hope for the best.
No, if you want to get into camping and like compact traveling now, it's a very expensive hobby, because all of the gear, at least if you want the stuff that will keep you dry and is lightweight, easy to pack, you're going to have to shell out a little coin, because it can be pricey to get good quality camping gear and hiking gear and stuff like that. Me and my fiance are learning. It's not cheap. Not cheap.
I have found a way to save money on that, and it's called points through my favorite hotel program. You will find Holiday Inn Express sites throughout the country. Great places to camp with a hot breakfast in the morning. So you have your campgrounds. I have mine. In our next hour, congressional candidate Brad Paff is going to join us. He's running in the 3rd Congressional District along Western and Central Wisconsin. Over at Up North News, as we post various stories about life in Wisconsin and try to stay in touch with the season, we have an article from freelance writer Susan Lampert-Smith about Baraboo, someplace you may know well for, you know, the Circus World Circus Museum, but plenty of other things going on. And she starts with the orchard at Sky High Orchard, and that it is apple picking season. And the folks who run these orchards are almost giddy, because last year was a terrible year because of a late spring frost that knocked the blossoms off the tree. And this year things are looking incredibly good for the apple harvest. There's like 30 varieties of apples there at Sky High, which they're also turning into cider and cider that's fermented into a variety of adult beverages. You know, you really can't take this apple picking from something wholesome with the kids to here's a tasting flight of apple booze. So she lists that, some of the other attractions there, like Wollersheim. Of course, obviously, there's the big three: Circus World, the International Crane Foundation, and Devil's Lake. But then she notes more than a couple of restaurants and shops, distilleries where you could go spend your time. So obviously, I'm recommending you go to upnorthnewswi.com and read a bit about spending some time in Baraboo.
There's a really great brewery and a really great distillery there, too. I can attest. They are delicious.
Yes.
So go check out the story to learn more about them.
Yes, you definitely will. But I thought, in noting that it is apple picking season, I wanted to find some fast facts here, and found out that there are about 300 commercial orchards in the state, and you want to take a guess how many pounds of apples are produced in Wisconsin each year?
How many pounds?
How many pounds of apples statewide?
Couple hundred thousand?
56 million pounds of apples, worth over $9 million a year. The average yield is just short of 10,000 pounds per acre, with some of the most concentrated areas being in Crawford County, Door County, Bayfield, and in around Greater Milwaukee as well. So Door County, we should have sent you to an apple orchard.
I was there.
Oh, you were? Okay. Did you get zucchini while you were there too?
Or no, just... not at the apple orchard.
Okay, well, you never know what all grows in these wild places. Brad Paff, congressional candidate, coming up in our next hour.